The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, December 16th, 2024.
Woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do. Because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good evening, Elaine.
Oh, good evening.
This is a special show. You've been postponed.
Right. We had a little bit of a postponement here.
But anyway, it'll be a good morning on one of our shows when it repeats.
Anyway, welcome to Women's Spaces. I have a very special guest for me on this show. Joining me on the phone from Washington, D.C. will be Sakaya Thomas, President and CEO of the ERA. That's the Equal Rights Amendment Coalition and the ERA Coalition Forward. You know, the ERA Coalition and the Fund for Women's Equality, ERA Coalition Forward, is a movement of movements. We convene to diverse, where they are working to work with diverse coalitions of nearly 300 partners, organizations across the country representing 80 million people. Can you imagine that? Imagine working with 80 million people. Oh, my goodness, that is amazing. But we are trying to get that ERA into our Constitution, and it's very, very, very important. Actually. Anyway, it's the third Monday of the month, and the National Organization for Women, SOCO chapter, is having their monthly meeting tonight, December 23rd, from 7 to 8:30 p.m. via Zoom. Excuse me, that's December 16th from 7 o'clock to 8:30 via Zoom. And if you go to www.nowsonoma.org, you can get all the information. That's www.nowsonoma.org. You can get all the Zoom information. And I'm really, really excited about today's show. And also the fact that we had a little bit of some repairs done in the station. So we are broadcasting live at 5 o'clock here at the station, and this show is going to run at 11 o'clock again tonight, and it's also going to run on Monday the 23rd at 11 o'clock, and also at 11 o'clock in the evening. Just a special announcement. Well, as we do with every show, we do our history as our strength, which has become a very important part of the show. And it's interesting, when I talk to a lot of the women that are listening, one of the things they say to me is that they really are happy that we do the history, because oftentimes we don't know what our history is all about, and many, many things have gone on. And today's history is very, very interesting. Today is December the 16th, and on December 16th, 1901, and she made her transition in 1978, and that was Margaret Mead. She was a renowned cultural anthropologist, author, lecturer, and famous for her quote, and I have lived this and have seen this over and over and over: never doubt that a small amount of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. I'm going to say that one more time. Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. Well, you know, we're going to be interviewing Sakaya Thomas from the ERA, which is the Equal Rights Amendment. We're trying to get that on the Constitution, and there's a petition going around that we're going to talk about. And just think, if millions signed the petition, the changes that can be made. Our second one that I want to celebrate, I think is very interesting, is she was born December 19th, 1919, 1 year before we got the vote. 2007, and she made her transition in 2007, and that was Sally Ann Lindenthal. She was the founder of Plowshares in 1981, which gave $50 million in grants to promote peace, peace, reduce, and ultimately, oh my God, I have my fingers crossed that that will happen one day, eliminate nuclear weapons. And just a little history on Plowshares. Plowshares, their mission is to reduce and eventually eliminate the threat of nuclear weapons. They do critical work to drive collaborative action within the nuclear field and provide funding to experts and organizations focused on working on this horrible threat. I mean, when you start thinking about it. And it's amazing. It's always amazing to me when I think about it. I start thinking that here we invent the airplane. We invent all this medical, you know, we watch people have heart transplants, hip replacements, all these different things happen. And we can't have peace. And we have developed the worst weapons possible to have in our arsenal, which is nuclear weapons. It's so dangerous. I mean, the thought of it ever even going off, I mean, an accident, I mean, something like that. That's why it's so important that they actually be eliminated from the planet. I mean, it's just, it's kind of scary for me. So happy birthday to Sally Ann Lindenthal and the effort she made by developing the organization called Plowshares to get rid of nuclear weapons. Amazing. Well, on December 22nd, which is a few days before Christmas, one of my favorite people's birthday is, and that's Claudia Lady Bird Taylor Johnson. She was first lady under President Lyndon Johnson from 1963 to 1969. She was an advocate for civil rights. She was a national chair of the Head Start, and she led a beautification effort across the country involving environmentalism, conservatism and anti-pollution. An amazing woman. You know, oftentimes the first ladies, you don't hear much about them, but Lady Bird, she was just an amazing human being and tried to do many, many things for our country. Well, it's time to take a music break, and I know Ken was talking about not having the music. Do we have that, the political world?
Hey, Mr. Politician.
Well, we're going to play then. Let's play Hey, Mr. Politician, and sung by Ellen Booksdale, which I think is so appropriate for the interview that we're going to have. We're going to be talking about the ERA, trying to get it on the Constitution. It's already been ratified, you know, and if we wait until Trump gets involved, we may never see it happen. So it's very important that we push President Joe Biden to get that thing going and get that as a constitutional amendment before he leaves office. So let's go ahead and let's play that. And when we return, I will be talking with Zakiya Thomas, President and CEO of the ERA Coalition and ER Coalition Forward, and she will be joining me on the phone all the way from Washington, D.C. So let's go ahead. We're going to try to play as much of that song as we can. Go ahead, Kev.
Hey, Mr. Politician, don't legislate my love. You're not walking in my shoes. Don't hide behind your religion. It's my right to marry whom I choose. It's not your place to call me a sinner or decide who to have as my mate. Don't twist the words of the Bible. Hey, Mr. Politician, there's no debate. We already separated church and state. Your religion should never abuse or take away my freedom to choose. Hey, Mr. Politician, don't legislate my body. if I choose. It's not your place to turn back the clock to a time when I had no voice. Don't try to take away my right to have freedom of choice. Church and state, your religion should never abuse or take away my freedom to choose. Hey, Mr. Politician, don't legislate my death. You're not walking. Politician, don't send me to war. You're not walking in my shoes. Don't hide behind a battle. It's not worth the lives we lose. It's not your place to lead your crusade, teaching our children to fight. Or say, can you see? By the dawn's early light. Hey, Mr. Politician, there's no debate. We already separated church and state. Your religion should never abuse or take away my freedom to choose. Hey, Mr. Politician, there's no debate. We already separated.
Boy, they're sure working hard to take away our choice, that's for sure. I just love that song by Ellen Buxton. You know, hey, Mr. Politician, start listening to us. I think that's what she's trying to say in so many words. Well, folks, for you just joining, I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of the station, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guest. Joining me on the phone all the way from Washington, D.C. is Zakiya Thompson. Welcome, Zakiya. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Hi, Elaine. Thanks for having me.
Oh, and thank you so much for being so flexible about the time. You know, they had a bunch of repairs here, and this morning it would have been so noisy we were not able to do it. So thank you so much for being so flexible. Listen, before we start, is it okay that if I tell our folks just a little bit about you?
Go for it, please.
Zakiya Thomas is the president and CEO of the ERA Coalition and ERA Coalition Forward. She's a dedicated advocate for justice and equality. With a rich background in political strategy and nonprofit management, she leads a coalition of over 300 organizations representing 80 million people. Her work spans gender, social, and reproductive justice, LGBTQ rights, and more, emphasizing the interconnectedness of these issues to foster collaboration. An adjunct professor at Georgetown Law, Zakiya teaches inspiring leaders how to run for political office and serves on several nonprofit boards, championing causes from reproductive rights to financial empowerment. Zakiya and her team strive to build support for the Equal Rights Amendment in Congress and across the nation. Welcome. What a resume, Zakiya. what a resume, anything that you would like to add?
No, I think you captured most of it. I mean, the biggest part of that is that we convene a coalition of over 300 partner organizations representing 80 million people, all working towards equality. I think that's the most impressive part of it.
I'll tell you, it's so amazing what's happening now. I think it's hard for people to believe, and it's just amazing that folks like you are working as hard as you are. So let's start the interview. You know, this is all about women's spaces, trying to encourage women to stand up and speak out for their rights and, of course, for choice right now. And also, we need to get that ERA already on the Constitution. I mean, I cannot believe it's taken this long. I mean, Alice Paul start working on it before we even got the vote. So it's an amazing thing that it's taken this long. Talk about how you first got involved with working with the ERA, and also how important reproductive justice and LGBTQ2 rights are all involved, all in the same issue.
Well, for me, it really started when I was young. So I was fortunate enough to spend a lot of time with my grandmother and hear stories about her in the civil rights movement, you know, going from New York down to the being part of protests, sit-ins, even to the point where she and Dr. Martin Luther King were stuck in an airport because there was a white mob outside and they couldn't leave the airport. So coming from a place where hearing all of those stories about the civil rights movement and what people went through in order to maintain and assert their rights, for me, it was just a natural progression. So as you read through my resume, I've worked in politics, I've worked in nonprofits, and for me, the ERA is the next civil rights issue of our generation. And that encompasses reproductive rights and LGBTQ+ rights, because we all need to be able to live our fullest lives without interference from someone else because of who we are, who we love, or how we present in the world. And so for me, the Equal Rights Amendment encompasses all of that. So I was fortunate enough to join the ERA coalition 2 years ago, and we've been working nonstop for the last 10 years to make sure that we get the Equal Rights Amendment in the Constitution.
Well, you know, it's really interesting because I read in your bio that you believe interconnectedness. What do you mean by the interconnectedness, and how does that foster collaboration, say, with the politicians? And what do you mean by that?
So we have much more in common than what divides us as a people. And that goes across political spectrum. It goes across gender identity. It goes across everything you can think of in this country. And a lot of us refer to that as intersectionality, about the fact that we don't live just one aspect of our lives. As a black woman, I am not only black, but I'm a woman. And so both of those identities do intersect. It's reality different from what others might have. And so when we think about what we have in common, and then when we focus on that, that really gives us the opportunity to find ways that we can work together and focus on the things that we care about in our value sets so that we can move forward together. Because once we understand that we're not in this alone and that it's incumbent upon us to work with other people and that we do better when we work together, then we can keep moving forward and we can break down those barriers, build solidarity, and work to make sure that the world is better for not just us, but for everyone else.
Well, you know, everything you say, I totally agree with you. I mean, I've been involved for the past 50 years. I mean, I'm an older woman. I mean, I'm going to be 85 in March, so I've been around a little bit listening to all this for a while. And I know some of my challenges, but as a young woman yourself, particularly as a black woman working on the ERA, working with the interconnectedness and all the different issues that you're working on, what are some of the basic challenges you face? And also, where do you get your oomph, your motivation? I mean, you mentioned your grandmother. I mean, my grandmother had a huge impression on me, especially her coming over from Odessa, Russia, you know, coming over in a ship here, you know, in the third class. You can just imagine what they went through to even get here. But what are some of the challenges, and what kind of motivates you? What gives you that oomph?
Well, as an organization, as a coalition, I think one of the biggest challenges is the fact that the opposition to our issues, and you can just say opposition to equality, has done a really good job of positing us against each other. So making us seem as though we need to be focused on our individual silos and trying to take us down, because they understand that when we work together, we have more strength and more power and we can challenge the status quo. And so really for me, it's trying to build up those to take down those barriers, to build up that solidarity to help us all move forward and recognize, as I said before, that we're all in this together. And it takes all of us working together to get to where we need to be. Personally, I would say that, you know, this is, well, a couple of things, actually. One, as an organization, you probably know this, Elaine, our opposition is funded in the billions. The anti-equality movement has so much funding and so much support behind them that when you look at what we're doing, we're funded in the millions. It's hard to compete with that. So instead of using money, we have to use people power to make the most of the resources we have, the time we have, and the power we have as a movement. And we call ourselves a movement of movements since we encompass a number of different movements across our coalition. And for me personally, it's really facing the challenges of people are comfortable with the status quo, and I have to change that. And that's really what is part of what drives me, is to understand that if we want the world to be better, we have to act. And you can't let someone stop you or put you down because of their hesitance to move forward, because they may be comfortable where they are. They may be just fine with the situation, and so they may not have the same incentive to move forward as you do. But you can't let that stop you. You have to keep pushing forward. Make sure that you understand that if I don't do this, no one else necessarily will, and so I have to. And I have to keep moving forward. I have to persevere, and I have to take on this challenge to make sure that I'm making the world better than the one I found.
Well, I want to thank you for sharing that. And that's really important when each of us as individuals, we look at what we can contribute, what we can do, how can we come make harm of it, and not be afraid to stand up. I mean, it is kind of scary sometimes, you know, all of a sudden you say something, someone confronts you. I mean, especially now it feels so volatile. I mean, it feels there's just so much division that it really, it almost shocks me to the point of, I say, how did this happen? You know, we made so many movements, and yet all of a sudden it feels like there's nothing. So it's kind of, it's an eerie shape. And that's why I believe from the bottom of my head to the tip of my toe that the ERA is so, so important. So let's talk a little bit about that. You know, talk about the Equal Rights Amendment. And it's really interesting when I was talking about, and I really want to thank you again for doing this interview, because I think it's very, very important, and it's going to get out to a lot of different areas, a lot of different venues. But the interesting thing is when a few people found out I was going to be this interview with you, they all of a sudden they said, you know, they're scratching their head. They don't quite have a grip on what the ERA actually is, you know, what Alice Paul was trying to accomplish and what is going on in today's world. So maybe you can give us a little background about what it's all about, what will it accomplish, and where is it going to go in order to accomplish that?
So a little primer on the Equal Rights Amendment. So it was originally introduced in Congress 101 years ago.
Oh, really?
We actually celebrated the 100th anniversary last year. Yes. So Alice Paul introduced it, and it was passed by both houses of Congress in 1972. What Congress did at that point was to put a time limit on the Equal Rights Amendment for ratification. In order for a constitutional amendment to be added to the Constitution, it has to be passed by both houses of Congress, then go to the states for ratification. And during that time period, 35 states ratified the Equal Rights Amendment, but not enough states ratified within the time limit in order for it to be added to the Constitution at that point. And there was a big backlash from big business, from members of the Republican Party, from members of conservative backgrounds, to say that we don't need the Equal Rights Amendment and that it will cause more trouble than good. And so the movement stalled for quite some time. And then over the last 10 years,
what was their fear? What was there? You know, I saw that there was a movie. It was called Mrs. America, and it talked all about Phyllis Schlafly. And what was their basic fear, and where were they coming up with that fear?
So the movie would have you believe that it was about social movements and about women, basically, as someone said, a catfight between women for equality. But really, when you look at what was actually funding the movement and what was pushing it, it's economics. There are people and there are organizations and companies and industries that benefit from the status quo, from having women as second-class citizens, whether it's an insurance company that can charge differently based on whether you're a man or a woman, whether it's having to pay equal pay for equal work, whether it's upholding a process for survivors of domestic violence and making sure that they're protected. There are people who benefit. And so those folks were fueling a lot of money into the effort to prevent us from having equal rights because they didn't want to lose that advantage. And we see the same thing playing out right now. it's really an economic issue, but they're trying to use social issues. And right now, the trans community is a lightning rod for this, unfortunately, being used as fodder in a political fight, which is unfortunate. There are people who are afraid for their lives with good reason because they're being used as a parrot for a larger issue and being vilified in the process.
Why would
you may remember, Elaine, you may remember, do you remember when it's back against the ERA because they thought women would be drafted in the military, LGBTQ plus couples would be able to marry? You know, those things happen, and it actually made our country better. And so we can't be afraid of these social issues, and we really need to focus on what's underlying them so that we can make the best decisions for our country going forward.
Well, what I don't understand is how what you just said about the LGBTQ community, how that plays into it. I mean, I don't understand that. That seems
so. The Equal Rights Amendment is very basic. I mean, it's 26 words that say essentially that you cannot discriminate on the basis of sex. And the Supreme Court has interpreted sex to mean gender. So if you have a law that discriminates against same-sex couples, that's discriminatory on the basis of sex, right?
I got it.
And so those laws that have anything to do with sex or gender would be under a different level of scrutiny, which means that the government would need a higher level of reasoning and logic to be able to put up laws that would discriminate on that basis.
So it's the word gender that encompasses so many. I can't help it. I mean, if they're going to find anything, they find anything. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. But that is interesting that all of a sudden that plays into it. I mean, it gives them another excuse. Would you say that at least?
Well, it gives them, and it's really fear mongering because they want to. At one point, the opposition thought, well, not enough people know someone who is in the LGBTQ plus community, so they'll be afraid, and so they won't really care what if we push back against it. But what we found is we all know someone who is, right?
Right.
And when you can remove that stigma and just say, you know, these are your family members, these are your friends, these are the people you love, and when you make that kind of argument, people change their tune. And so that's really what we need to do, is humanize this issue and make sure folks understand that you can't let the fear that people are trying to portray drive your decisions and drive what you think and how you act in this country.
Well, and also even ask yourself, what are you afraid of? I mean, it's the same thing. It's the same thing with abortion. You know, if you don't want an abortion, you know, but nobody's forcing you. It's a matter of choice. It's a matter of what you choose. And if you don't care there, then you don't go there. You know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I have a sweatshirt that says, don't have one, with big smiley face in the middle, because it's really that simple. Like, anything, what we're doing is saying you cannot use your religious beliefs or your whatever beliefs to dictate what the rest of the country does, because that didn't the void persecution based on their religion, and that's what we're starting to do right now, is to force religious beliefs on other people, and we can't really let that happen. We need to step to push back. Religion has its place in society. We should all be able to live the life that we choose to, and not be not have it dictated by one or another person's beliefs.
Also, I think they should start having classes. I mean, religion gives us the Ten Commandments. You know, they should have classes on how you live them, so we can have a peaceful life and
have some morality.
It's really interesting. Well, listen, I want to take a musical break now, and then we're going to get into this. There's a whole thing about the legacy and also about what's going on with Joe Biden and trying to get a petition signed. So, but is it okay with you? We're going to take a quick a musical break, and the song I think you're going to really love, and it's a song by one of my favorites. It's called Earth Mama. And the song is We Were Made for These Times. I mean, it kind of gives you a little bit of a maybe an inspiration that, yeah, we know it's a little bit rough now, but we're strong enough to do that. Is that okay with you?
Oh, sure.
Okay, thank you so much. Anyway, folks, we're going to be taking a musical break, and the song we're going to play is We Were Made for These Times, sung by Earth Mama, and I believe this is perfect for right now, because as women, we need to gather, we need to muster up our strength and say, enough is enough. We want the ERA, and we want you to get off our backs, for God's sake. And then when we return, we will continue our conversation with Sakaya Thomas, who is a part of the ER Coalition and Fund for Women's Equality, and also ERA Coalition Forward, and definitely an empowerment movement. And we will continue that conversation. So go ahead, Ken. Let's go ahead and play that song.
We are made for these times, made to march, made to shine, hats and boots, hearts and brains, sun or snow.
Yes, we were made for these times. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt, and I'm continuing my conversation with Sakaya Thomas, President and CEO of the ERA Coalition and ERA Coalition Forward. Well, welcome back, Sakaya. What a wonderful interview. This is really great. I mean, I'm learning so much, especially about the interconnectedness. So it's very important that people know about that. So thank you so much for being here.
Well, thanks for having me.
Okay, so let's go on. Let's get to the meat of this. You know, when I got the first petition, and I think it was Jennifer that I interviewed when we were talking about this, and there was petitions going around, but it wasn't the Joe Biden issue. And I understand you have, it's called the Legacy We Deserve ERA Now. It's a urgent campaign to call on President Joe Biden to take final action on the Equal Rights Amendment and secure gender equality for the U.S. Constitution. Talk about what that is about, and what steps have you taken, and why do you believe this is so important at this moment in time?
So we are firmly of the belief that we have to try everything possible to get the Equal Rights Amendment into the Constitution. And we see the incoming administration has already shown that they are against the Equal Rights Amendment, and the Justice Department under Donald Trump and his first administration were actually the ones who prevented the Equal Rights Amendment from being. They issued a memo which the archivist used to basically say that he doesn't have the authority to add the amendment to the Constitution. And so now, since we know what's ahead of us, and we also know that the House and the Senate will be in the control of a party and the people, let's just say anti-equality people, who have voted against the Equal Rights Amendment in the past, so we know that we have an uphill battle for the next at least 2 years. So right now, we were working with Congress, and now we're focusing on the president, to have him ask the archivist to publish the Equal Rights Amendment. We know that if we don't take this moment right now, we will have to wait 2 years, 4 years, who knows how much longer, in order to have the Equal Rights Amendment in the Constitution. If you ask the legal community, there's consensus that the Equal Rights Amendment has met all of the criteria it needs to be added to the Constitution, and that it should have been published, and that it should be law right now, and should be reflected as law and in the Constitution. And so we really just need this procedural measure in order to make sure that it's getting into the Constitution, and then we can ensure that we have equality under the law. The fear is that if we have the Equal Rights Amendment, it will be challenged, which is why President Biden does not want to take that step. But we have to do everything we can, which is why we want to call on him, and we are demanding and calling on him to put the Equal Rights Amendment in the Constitution, because now is our time, as the song just said. We have to take advantage of this moment, because we know it's going to be dark days ahead for the ERA.
So are you saying if you get it in now, even though it's going to be challenged, because it sounds like that, I don't understand that. What's his fear? He's not going to be challenged. He'll be out of office. I don't understand. Why is that?
He strongly believes in the rule of law and that the president doesn't have a role in this. But what we've seen is that the people who are making decisions and who will be making decisions in the coming years don't. So we want to use this opportunity to do everything we can to make sure that we are fighting from the best and strongest position, which is why we're still working with Congress to make sure to bolster the Equal Rights Amendment once it's in the Constitution. But right now, we can't lose sight of this moment. We can't lose sight of the fact that we have a champion for gender equality in the White House who is committed to the Equal Rights Amendment throughout his career, and this is a step that he can take. Whatever his reasons are, I appreciate and respect those, but we need this now in order to make sure that we have the future we deserve.
So then you're saying that if it goes into the next administration, that almost the chances of even at that moment it's not going to happen. And the 2 years that you have to wait is because if they vote for Congress again and for the Senate. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. So if we have a more amenable Congress, the House and Senate, then we can pass legislation that would strengthen the position of the Equal Rights Amendment and have – because Congress is – according to Article 5 of the Constitution, the president isn't supposed to have a role in the amendment process. They leave that up to Congress. So we do want Congress to act, but at the end of the day, what we do now will make the difference for generations to come, which is why we're calling on President Biden to make this his legacy and to put the ERA in the Constitution.
Do you have any women? I mean, are there any women in the Congress or that are pushing on President Biden, helping you with this effort?
Oh, definitely, yes. So we have champions in both the House and the Senate. So in the House, outgoing Representative Cori Bush has been leading the fight for the Equal Rights Amendment. She and Representative Ayanna Pressley have worked, both have pieces of legislation to move the Equal Rights Amendment forward. Representative Bush's legislation calls on the president to call on the archivist to instruct them to put the Equal Rights Amendment in the Constitution. And she just released a letter with 143 of her colleagues calling on President Biden to publish the Equal Rights Amendment. In the Senate, we have Senator Gillibrand, who you may have seen. There was an op-ed she had in the New York Times that calls on President Biden to put the Equal Rights Amendment in the Constitution. She also had a Dear Colleague letter to get 46 of her colleagues to sign on to her letter calling on President Biden to move this forward. So we do have champions in both the House and the Senate, men and women. Though it is quite sad when you do talk to some female members of Congress who are opposed to the Equal Rights Amendment, when you realize that the fact that they're probably in the House or the Senate now because of the benefits of gender equality measures that we have now that may go away if we don't have the Equal Rights Amendment.
You know, it's really interesting that you should mention that. You know, Earth Mama, she wrote a song. Actually, it was made for the centennial. It was actually one of two songs. It was Standing on the Shoulders. That was her song. And then, of course, I Am Woman by Helen Reddy. You know, these were two during the centennial. But when you listen to Standing on the Shoulders, you know, it just makes you wonder, where are these women that oppose these things coming from? Why don't they recognize that they're there because of women, because of the support they got from women? I mean, if it wasn't for the support they got, they wouldn't be there. I mean, I even think, of, you know, even look at women women on the radio or on television. When I listen to them sometimes, I just want to scream. I say, don't you realize that you're standing on the shoulders of women who went to jail, who were waterboarded, who were threatened of their lives to even get you the vote, to even get you to be able to be a newscaster? I mean, I remember when I couldn't even get a credit card. When I got birth control, my husband had to sign for it. And and all these things, that all these freedoms of choice and all these actions that we've had are because of the women that came before us. And I'll tell you, it just pisses me off. Excuse my language.
Me but too.
It really does. You know, I mean, come on. You know, wake up, wake up. You know, it's like, it's almost like when you grow up as a child. If you didn't have a mother, you wouldn't have survived. So, you know, I don't understand where their heads are. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go on that rampage.
No, but I think more people need to talk about that, because if you look at what the folks who are coming into office right now, if they do push Project 2025, they're trying to take away the Department of Education, and they're trying to take away a lot of these measures that helped women succeed. So either Title VII and Title IX. Title VII ensured gender equality in the workplace so that you couldn't discriminate at work, and so that women could actually work in some of these positions that they otherwise were barred from. Same thing with Title IX. Title IX enabled women to go to college and to pursue higher education, and to also as giving us the ability for women to play sports, but it's also the ability for women to pursue an education in general. And we are lulled into a false sense of security that we will always have that privilege, but the truth is any law, and that's a law, can be rolled back by a future Congress or future court. But if you have a constitutional amendment, it's very hard to roll that back. And so it's only been done once, and that was prohibition, right?
Right.
And so we need to make sure that we ensconce our rights into the Constitution so that they cannot be taken back. We cannot have another fall of Roe with a Dobbs decision with Title IX or with birth control or with any of the things that we take for granted as a means by which women have advanced themselves in this country. We can't take that for granted. We have to enshrine our rights by having an Equal Rights Amendment.
Well, you know, it's interesting when you talk about all that, because, you know, I just want to throw this in to all my listeners. You really need to pay attention, you know, especially Robert F. Jr., Kennedy Jr. is saying that they don't want to require that children get vaccinations before they go to school. You know, I would like to remind them, you know, someone like myself, you know, we lived through the whole polio thing. You know, what kind of craziness is this? Can you imagine allowing those kind of diseases to run rampant again? I'm not saying that I agree with 100%, because sometimes I think maybe, you know, with my great-grandchildren, when they got vaccinated, I was a little bit concerned about it. And what my grandson told me is, don't worry, Grandma. What they did was is they broke it down to give them less at one time. You know, there's alternate ways that you can work with it. But the thought of even going to grammar school without being inoculated, say, against polio or whooping coughs or any of those things, to me, just, you know, women need to pay attention to that. I mean, and it's really important. These are not your friends. What did you call it at the beginning? The unequal? What you called it a name? The unequal?
The inequality, or the equality opponents, is what we like to call them.
I think that's a good description. Well, you know, going back to the ERA. So let's have our dream. You know, that it gets on the Constitution. So what happens after that? I mean, what difference does it make? Does it help us get back anything from Roe versus Wade? What happens when that amendment becomes in the Constitution?
So you have to understand that the Equal Rights Amendment in and of itself is not a panacea. It will not solve all of our problems in there. What it does do is it's a promise of a better future and a promise against discrimination. So what that means is that Congress and future courts can use the Equal Rights Amendment as a tool to create legislation, if you're in Congress or if you're in a state legislature, that would prohibit discrimination or would remedy discrimination that's currently existing in our laws. Or a court could use the Equal Rights Amendment to provide standing so that you can bring a challenge to a discrimination case. Right now, for instance, a domestic violence case, you can't really bring that on the basis of discrimination, on the basis of sex, because there is no standing for sex. There is no provision against discrimination on the basis of sex in the Constitution as it stands today.
Boy, that
so
really
it
gives
would empower us to use those laws to make the country live up to the promise that we all think it should have as a equal society. And so that's really what we would do. We could build laws, we could use the courts and to make better affirmations to make sure that we maintain our rights.
That just reminds me of what Dr. Martin Luther King said. All we're asking you to do is live to the promise of America, and that's exactly what you're saying. Well, yeah. we're almost coming really quickly to the end of this segment, and I know you have a petition circulating. I would like you to email it to me. I don't have it. I want to email it now that we've done it. I would like to put it on our website so people can get information on it. But talk real quickly about that amendment and why it's important to sign it, and also just anything else that you'd like to say. And please give us your websites and anything, any information on how people can get a hold of you and how they can get involved.
Well, before I go, I'd be remiss if I didn't say that state equal rights amendments have been used in the recent past to uphold funding for using Medicaid funding for abortions. So when you ask the question about can we use an equal rights amendment for abortion access, yes is the short answer. Because the equal rights amendments that those were based on are based on the same language as the federal equal rights amendment. So it has been proven to guarantee access or maintain access to abortion in some of the states. The petition that you're talking about is signforera.org, and that is to show people actually support the Equal Rights Amendment. The most recent polling showed 61% of the country thinks that President Biden should add the Equal Rights Amendment to the Constitution. 61%. That's an astonishing number, especially when you think that nearly 80% of the country thinks that we should have an Equal Rights Amendment, period. And that goes across Republicans, Independents, and Democrats. And I'll leave you with this. The Equal Rights Amendment is, as I said, a promise to remedy the issues and the ails of gender discrimination that we have in our country. And we desperately need it. So if you'd like to join our cause, please join us at eracoalition.org or eracoalitionforward.org and join this fight. And if I could leave you with three calls to action. One, join us and follow us on social media. Two, call on President Biden to enshrine the Equal Rights Amendment in the Constitution. You can find that on our website, eracoalition.org. And three, support your local organizations and community activities that uplift gender equality and sex equality, because we need to not only have this at the national level, but in our communities. We need to support one another to make sure this movement is strong. It's vital, and we can move it forward.
You know, you said the ERA forward. What is that exactly? What is that? Can you give just a little explanation on that?
Sure. So we have two sister organizations with the ERA Coalition. The ERA Coalition is an entity that can do political activity, so we can lobby Congress and we can do those sorts of things. It's called a C4 under the federal code. And then the ERA Coalition Forward is where we do our education information. So when you see those public education campaigns, that's really through ERA Coalition Forward, which is our education and information arm of this movement.
And give your website again, and if you'd like to give your email that people can get directly in touch with you if anybody would like to do an interview or find out more information from you.
Yes. If you'd like to contact us directly, you can email at info@eracoalition.org. And you can visit our website, eracoalition.org or eracoalitionforward.org.
Well, Sakai, this has been a wonderful, wonderful interview. And I'm going to give you 30 seconds to just say anything you want before you say goodbye. And I want to thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Elaine, for having me. And thank you for uplifting the Equal Rights Amendment, because as you mentioned before, this is our time. We have to take advantage of it, and we have to keep up the fight and keep up the momentum and not be dismayed by what's coming ahead of us, because the times will get dark, but we know there's light on the other side, and we are not alone in this fight. The more I've talked to people post this election, the more I've realized that we have a fight that we are burning for and that we are ready to take on, and it's going to take all of us in that to move it forward to make sure that we realize the promise of the Equal Rights Amendment in this country.
Well, Sakaya Thompas, thank you so much for a wonderful, wonderful interview, for giving us some such solid, good information. I mean, I understand it a lot more now than I did maybe 5 minutes ago. And thank you, thank you, thank you. And anything, any announcements or anything you want, and please send me that, if you would send me the petition so I can put it on our website.
I will send you the petition. So thank handles. You can always reach us at ERA Coalition.
And thank you again. And have
thank
a wonderful,
you.
Wonderful holiday season, whatever way you celebrate it.
You too. Thank you.
Wow. What an interview. I feel so honored to be able to interview this woman. I mean, look at the work they're doing. I mean, look at what they've accomplished. And what's it for? For equal rights. You know, it's we the people. It's equal rights. So I want to thank Zakiya Thomas, who's the president and CEO of the ERA Coalition and ER Coalition Forward. Well, that's just about it for our show. You know, I have a few more minutes here, and I just want to go over some of the things that she was talking about. You know, it's very important that we get involved, that we stand up. You know, we're standing on the shoulders of many, many women who were jailed, who lost jobs, who lost reputations, who did all kinds of things so they could be part of and so they could join and become treated equally. And I do not understand that. I do not understand why it's so difficult for women to get equal rights. It's a mystifying situation. You know, we talk about abortion. It's not abortion. I'm not saying every woman has to have abortion. It's just all about choice. In fact, I don't even have that in my mind when I think of what Roe versus Wade was all about. It was all about choice. It was all about choosing. It's all about knowing what is best for you, what is best for maybe a child that you're bringing into the world. You know, when I look at these young children that are homeless on the street, and I say to myself, why is it more important to protect the fetus than it is to protect those children? And what is it? I mean, all of us, I can't believe you're going to bring all these children into the world and you don't want to vaccinate them. You don't want to educate them. You don't want to give them medical. You don't want to give them equal rights. I mean, what are you talking about? Are we that stupid that we don't understand that they're just taking our rights away, period? And how important it is that we stand up. And what is the right, what are we asking the right to do? The right to be free, the right to choose, not to harm other people. I mean, we can't vote on wars. Why can they vote to get rid of our choices? You know, I had this idea the other day. I was thinking to myself, if we really lived in a democracy, you know, we have computers now. If you want to go and put there's an issue on, let's say our congresswoman or man has an issue, why can't they send out an email and ask for a straw vote? See what the public thinks. I'll bet you any amount of money if they put war out to vote on that most people would say they would vote it down. You know, take those billions of dollars and work on it to enhance ourselves. Not to destroy ourselves. And then when we look at climate change, you know, all of a sudden they're going to throw away climate change as a hoax. Are you serious? Here in Sonoma County, we've all been holding on to it by the seat of our pants, hoping it doesn't flood here with all the rains we've had. And look at all the destruction that's gone on over the planet. And where are all these people going? I mean, for heaven's sakes, we have to stand up. And equal rights is such a simple thing. I mean, we all should be equal to one another. There's nobody better or worse. You know, I'm not saying that someone doesn't get maybe more education or maybe is a little bit smarter or has a little bit more information than you do, but basically we're pretty much all the same. You know, we're all born. You know, I'm 85. My kids tell me I have to say I'm 84 and 3/4. You know, I'm looking forward to what? You know, I'm not looking forward to a future anymore. I'm looking forward to an ending. You know, but we have to look. Life is a simple thing. It's a gift each and every day we wake up. And to have equal rights is the most important thing that any one of us could have. To have rights at all. And then all of a sudden people would love to take those rights away. Well, we've come to the end of the show. Am I right? How many moments? We got 3 more minutes, Ken? Is that how many minutes we have?
Two and a half
more minutes. Well, one of the things I'd like to share in those 2.5 minutes is just to remind folks that our children are the future, and we must never lose sight of that. And one of the things that I loved about what Zakiya said was, is she said, it's for the future of our children that we have equal rights. And start looking at what is happening with our schools. You know, they want to cut back our education. You know, one of the greatest things that happened in this country that pushed our democracy forward was the idea that in order to have a democracy, you have to have an educated population. And that was the whole idea behind free schools, public schools. You know, you can have public schools. You could send your child to be educated, to learn how to read, to learn how to write, so they could advance themselves. I mean, when you look at the 60s and you see all the protests that were going on and everything, those were all educated people. They were all able to go to college. You know, my father was a union man. He was able to provide a good, good house, a good living, a good place to be for our lives. I mean, we never missed a meal. I never remember being hungry. I never remember being displaced out of my home. You know, so it's so important that we look at that, and we look at signing at the very least you can do, and we will have the petition on www.womenspaces.com, is sign the petition for the Equal Rights Amendment, that get it in the Constitution already. You know, stop stalling. Anyway, this is Elaine V. Holtz. You've been listening to Women's Spaces, and like I do at the end of every show, remind you that our children are the future. And what do I mean by that, our children are the future? That means we have to invest in the future, we have to have faith in the future, and we have to continue to plan, and we have to all work on peace. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. We're coming into the Christmas season, and that's the whole idea of Christmas, to remind everybody that the Prince of Peace supposedly was born. Well, anyway, this is Elaine B. Holtz. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. I truly appreciate you listening. If you're listening to any, you want to find out any of our archives or visit our website, go to www.womensspaces.com.
Because a woman in your life, the woman in your life, the woman in your life is you.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, December 16th, 2024.